you will increase your efficiency 20% if you learn to do the tough things first, the ones you don't want to do.
Ray Zinn now imparts his management philosophy in Tough Things First. In this series, Zinn covers it all, from the essence of human happiness,
adding value, showing that you have value,
to the downside of venture capital.
You will not own the company.
And the essence of entrepreneurial discipline.
If you're going to make it a consistent practice of working Saturdays just because you think you've got to work 80 hours a week to be successful, you're just flat out wrong.
Now here's Ray Zinn, Silicon Valley's longest serving CEO and today's guest host.
Well, welcome back, everyone, to the next edition of the Tough Things First podcast. My name is Guy Smith, and as always, we're here with Ray Zinn. Hello, Ray. How are you today?
Doing just great, Guy. Thanks for asking.
Well, it's always a pleasure to be with you. And man, I am anxious to talk to you today because there is just a flurry of merger and acquisition activity going on. The Broadcom-Qualcomm merger seems to have more chapters than any television soap opera. And a lot of people are wondering, is this now the new normal or is this part of a cycle, et cetera, et cetera? And I know that you've watched M&As in the tech industry for 50 years or thereabouts. So let's jump right into that. This recent flurry of M&A activity, especially in the semiconductor sector, is this an aberration? Is it abnormal? Is it larger than usual?
I don't think so. I think this is kind of an ongoing thing. It's been happening for years. You know, as you mentioned, I can go back, you know, close to 50 years on this, and it's pretty much the way it's been. I mean, now there's been a lot more M&A activity because interest rates are low, and that allows then these companies to acquire these companies at a relatively low cost, interest-wise. So since 2008, 2009, when interest rates have dropped down to the ridiculously low level. And so, therefore, this has become a more viable alternative for companies to borrow money and go out and acquire these larger firms. I think that's exactly what Octam is doing with Broadcom, is he's borrowing the money and he's borrowing at a low interest rate. Then you hope that your growth rate will, and at least on your earnings, will exceed the cost of money. So at least that's my view of it.
So why do CEOs like M&As as a growth strategy? I mean, it's a way to grow, but there seem to be a lot of pitfalls. Why would a CEO favor M&As over other tactics for growing revenue?
Well, because it gives you an instant revenue growth. I mean, if you acquire a company that's nearly your size, you can get almost 100% growth rate. So your growth rate, you know, speeds up. Another reason would be that you might get scale. In other words, if you're a smaller company and you need some more access to customers or to certain markets, you'll do that. Or if you're trying to buttress up your own market, such as what Broadcom's trying to do, you know, they're heavily into handsets and into cell phones, and the acquisition of Qualcomm just really buttresses that that market that they're in, gives them much larger scale. In fact, they'd be the largest producer of handset components in the world.
Yeah, but there have been disasters in this approach, haven't there? I mean, I grew up in Melbourne, Florida. There was a big branch of Intersil down there. And if I remember correctly, Intersil went on a big M&A splurge and didn't ingest it all very well.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, it does take, you know, quite a technique to do it. If the acquisition is synergistic to your business plan, as opposed to just acquiring bulk as you would, it's kind of like a weightlifter who's doing it, or a person who's exercising to do it to develop tone and strengthen their muscles, as opposed to somebody that's on steroids that just wants to get bulk. You know, that's going, you know, using steroids to get bulk is hazardous to your health, and that's kind of what Intersil did back in the time, or back in the day, as they say, is they were just getting bulk. You know, Dave Bell said, I'm going to be a $1 billion company. And so he went out acquiring companies just to get to $1 billion revenue. That's a dangerous way to do it, unless you had some way to assimilate those acquisitions into your company. And that's the key. That's the challenge, is being able to get those companies synergistically matriculated into your company.
Well, I'm glad you brought up that word synergy. In preparation, I went into your book, Tough Things First. And by the way, for the audience, if you have not gotten your copy of Tough Things First, you should probably bring up a browser window, go to Amazon.com and get a copy. Because if you're looking for the Bible of how to be a good leader and a good executive and a good entrepreneur, especially in the tech industry, reading Ray's history of his time in Silicon Valley and his time in tech in Tough Things First is really your guidebook. So by all means, go to Amazon, get a copy. But in preparation, here's a passage from your book and why I was focusing on synergy. You wrote, regardless of the mode, merger or acquisition, or the justification for M&As, the end game derives from the presumed, I put the emphasis on presumed, synergies between the two companies that allegedly allow them to grow faster than they would individually. So part of the equation seems that there has to be some multiplier effect of the synergies for the M&A to have some realistic benefit. Is that true?
Certainly. For example, if you were, a real estate company and you decided to acquire a restaurant, even though there are buildings involved, that may not be scale. In other words, you may not be able to synergize your sales force with the restaurant. There's not a lot of synergy. Even though you're going to get bulk, you're not going to get any real synergies there. So the goal is, if you're going to acquire a company where there are likenesses. In other words, you have some similarity in product lines or in technology, workforce, because then you can get some synergies by scaling back some of those between the two companies. You can scale back some of the staff to minimize the cost of running, because you're basically going to run two companies as one, and you don't need two accounting or two purchasing, or you don't need two CEOs as you would two sales forces. Well, not necessarily two sales forces, but there's some duplication when you bring in a company. You can cut some costs by just reducing the headcount where there is duplication.
Yeah, and then the layoffs are always, as I recall, mainly from the acquired company. They tend to lose the most heads.
Yeah, that's the shame of it.
Yeah. So historically speaking, in the tech industry, and not just semiconductors, but in tech in large, what has been the result of this growth strategy? I mean, in terms of a batting average, how often does it really work in terms of long-term sustained growth?
Well, it depends upon the company. HP has not done extremely well. TI has done pretty good. Analog Devices has done good. The company that acquired my company, Microchip, has done well. So you have to be kind of a master at synergizing or being able to integrate these companies together. It takes a special talent, takes a special understanding of the process of synergizing to do a good job.
Mm. I believe that instinctively, and I believe that not every CEO has the talent of finding those synergies, making the hard choices about what to cut, what to keep, and actually then melding the two pieces together so that they do get that multiplier effect. So we live in interesting times. We've got a global economy that seems to be growing fairly well again. But we've got interest rates getting ready to go up and take all the cheap money off the table. So what would be your advice to CEOs, especially in this current business cycle, in terms of using M&As? Are they too late to the game? Is it still something they should consider? Are there warning signs on the road ahead that maybe make them think twice about an M&A at this point?
Well, as long as the interest rates stayed down low, like 2.5% or lower, then you can still borrow money relatively well, because you're going to be hopefully, cutting some costs and synergies in the acquisition. And so that'll help you then pay for the acquisition. So it is still a reasonable time. I mean, I think it will be for the next, year or two. Certainly the inflation has not increased. I mean, we still have relatively low inflation and we have good growth. So low inflation and good growth, even though that sounds like an oxymoron. We that's the best of both worlds. Low interest rates and low inflation, but high growth. I mean, I don't know how it gets any better than that. Now, will it stay that way? No, because inflation is part of growth. You know, people are going to want higher salaries. We saw recently the demands of, or, you know, salaries are going up. I mean, they've increased substantially over the last year, and then it will continue to increase as long as the economy grows. So, you know, if you got to keep your costs in line with interest rates. So if interest rates go up, you got to cut costs. If interest rates stay low, you can still grow relatively well through an acquisition.
That certainly makes sense. And I guess as long as the interest rates are low, there's a reduction in risk to a certain extent. So I expect to see more M&As, even though I also suspect they'll be tapering off as interest rates come up. Some CEOs are just not going to want to take the gamble. Well, anyway, thanks, Ray. I appreciate you giving us these insights into mergers and acquisitions. And for the Tough Things First podcast audience, by all means, if you haven't already subscribed to this podcast, you can do that on iTunes, Google Play, Podcast Addict, any of the tools that you're using. And while you're there, rate and review so that other people find this podcast if you have found it helpful. Thanks again, Ray, and have a wonderful afternoon.
Thanks, Guy. I appreciate this opportunity.
You've been listening to Tough Things First, candid talk with Silicon Valley's longest-serving CEO, Ray Zinn. Drop by the contact page at toughthingsfirst.com for more about the book, more podcasts, and links to Ray's Twitter, Facebook, and LinkedIn pages to keep up with Ray Zinn's wisdom daily.